Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the ICS Podcast. My name is Eric Fish, and I'm the editor of ICS Cleaning Specialist Magazine. Thank you for tuning in. You might recall a previous conversation we had in December of 2011 with Daryl Paulson, the chairman of the Clean Trust, following some big changes regarding the organization. We're pleased to be joined again by Mr. Paulson for an update on all of the latest. So let's get to it.
The Clean Trust recently signed a memorandum of understanding with the RIA. A little bit of recent news. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of that?
The RIA is one of our industry partners, and we have signed an MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding, to work together to collaborate any standard writing activities, any possible reciprocity between courses would be one of the things. Sometimes we use courses as prerequisites for each other's education programs. We had a goal for quite a while to work with other organizations. Not all associations represent the same constituency. So here we have AIHA, which is the American Industrial Hygiene Association, that we just signed an MOU with. Also, that was in November, and that was, I suppose, approximately a year in the makings, if not a lot longer, because we've had some of their members working on our previous standards, just like we have with RIA. And also, we just did an MOU with the IAQA industry and association. President there is Carl Grimes, and the president of RIA is a Frank Heaton. I can't recall off the top of my head on AIHA's board makeup, but our president, Patrick Winters, has been participating and active and communicating with other presidents, and I have with other chairmen. And so it's just our way to support each other, collaborate. It could be much like our previous Council of Associations at the IICRC, where we tried not to schedule things when other standing dates were for the organization. So there's a lot of ways we could share science and data and articles, and there's a lot of ways to work with these other organizations to be open, transparent, and supportive of each other. And that's our intentions. And an MOU is like a partnership and an agreement, an understanding to work together. Of course, it's obviously not binding, but we just think it's a good business sense to share lessons learned. So to say, we don't have to reinvent a wheel in some cases, where some of the sampling and some of the data that the people from the AIHA group, where they're doing testing and sampling for microbials or asbestos and lead, we try not to go into their area of expertise, because they're already in that area. And the IAQA has a, kind of like to say, the age of the specialist. They specialize in that area. And RIA specializes in the restoration, you know, as do we. And we all cross over a little bit and complement each other. So that's the intention there. It's a good question.
All right. And to kind of piggyback off of that, can you update us on any other developments that you're working on with industry associations?
Yes. Let me first say that we're also affiliated and highly organized with the World Floor Covering Association and their 3,500 members, WFCA. The CRI, we're doing a standard in S600 for installation, and we are past the reference guide on that and just starting to work on the standard portion of that document, and we're anticipating that to be mostly completed by the end of this year. That's the CRI, the Carpet and Rug Institute. And then there's the CIRI, the Cleaning Industry Research Institute, that we're also industry partners with, as well as Healthy House Institute, HHI, and then HFI, Healthy Facilities Institute, and then HC, which is the Housekeeping Channel. The ones that we're anticipating to have some exciting news in the next 12 to 18 months would be National Wood Flooring Association. We've been collaborating with them on a standard for their area of expertise, as we have with the MIA, the Marble Institute of America. And in fact, we're having a meeting in Florida the beginning of March, I think it's March 2nd, with several of their members anticipating putting together a hard surface standard for maintenance and restoration. And then there's the Concrete Polishing Association of America. By the way, there's 3,500 members with the National Wood Flooring Association and 2,000 with the Marble Institute. And the Concrete Polishing Association is really growing fast. FAST of America, that's 500 members. One we've been working with for quite a while and have not accomplished an MOU is the ISSA, the International Sanitary Supply Association. They have almost 6,000 members. And then the other one that we have on our radar as a good fit would be the IEHA, the International Executive Housekeeping Association, and their 4,500 members. So our international vice president is also looking around the rest of the world and some of the other continents that we have significant membership in to see what kind of collaboration and MOUs we can do with those international partners as well.
The board of directors met for the first time at the end of January. Can you give us an update on that and kind of tell us how that went?
Yes, real excited about our board meeting at the end of the Surfaces Convention, which most of our board was at supporting those industry partners in the flooring industry. And on the 27th and 28th, we had a two-day board meeting, and we added that board meeting. We normally have two board meetings a year, face-to-face in the spring and in the fall, and then we have two go-to meetings now. So we added this one because we had seven new board members that hadn't seated the board before with a diverse background and yet a lot of experience within the industry. And I felt it would be important that we would get together prior to meeting with all of our instructors and schools to really look at the big issues that were before us, which has to do with the Certification Council, the Education Committee, and the transition of that, our new programs that support our standards, which is the CAVI program that we purchased last year that really helps to hopefully not overburden the volunteers that are involved with the standard writing and developing process. And it really records quite well how we come up with the science, the current science, the best judgment, best practices that we have. And so there was all those discussions that occurred. And then there's the web assessor on how the Education Committee and how the new software programs for writing exams and complying with the ANSI requirements. These are just new tools that I wanted to make sure that our board was very familiar with. And, you know, we had quite a few changes in the last year. We had a name change, and we had to discuss the branding of the various divisions. Of course, we have five divisions, and one of them being the restoration, one of them being the cleaning, one of them being inspection, and the other division is hard surfaces. We have a lot of exciting things coming up on the hard surfaces that will be good for our registrants and certification programs so that they can feel confident in the latest techniques or the latest supplies and methods. And then our last division would be our standards developing. So I updated the 15 board with all of what I felt was the most important steps that we needed to take in the next year to make sure we're able to support our instructors and schools as good as possible and also prepare for our spring meeting. And it was excellent. At the very end of the meeting, we went around the room and everybody felt, of course, there's 8 or 9 board members that have been on the board in the past, and went around and everybody really felt like we were to business. We covered a great agenda, and it was really diverse. The board all came prepared. They'd read the report. So I felt like we got a lot of work done. We have a very active executive committee and board that are volunteering and working very, very hard to support the instructors, the schools, our registrants of almost 60,000, and our close to 5,000 certified firms. And one of the action plans that we also put forth was to contact our 140 instructors. So we divided those 140 instructors up between us all. And then another thing was an action plan for me to call all the presidents of the shareholder associations that make up the Clean Trust. Just a lot of things that, in addition to working on the things that we normally work on, which is receiving reports from all our chairmen and different programs that are going on and investments we need to make our programs better, we added quite a few things too. So I was real excited. I can only hope that the future chairmen and presidents of this organization could be as fortunate as me to have as good of board members as what I have. I'm excited that we're getting the word out. I'm excited that there's some economic tough times out out there for a lot of folks, and our programs are moving forward very healthy. Also, we're working on branding each of those five divisions with our PR group, which is, you know, the Clean Trust name, and then the Restoration Division, the Inspection Division, the Hard Surface Division. So I think people will be pretty excited about that. I also think a lot of questions will be answered when the new website comes out. That is scheduled to come out in March, and that's a badly needed tool that we need to update, and real excited about the professionals working on that website that we've been working on for about 3 months now, maybe four. So I think a lot of questions will also be answered in that, and that I think our registrants and firms will find that very helpful, as well as our instructors in schools.
So, Daryl, tell us a little bit about the Mold Removal Specialist Exam.
The Mold Removal Specialist Exam came about as a result of the state legislation and concerns about other states following the Florida protocol for licensing for mold removal. So we started a Mold Removal Specialist Exam that is a standalone certification. There are two reasons. One was it's another level of certification, and two, it complies with the state legislation's need for licensing, which we anticipate other states following through with that. Now, the criteria for that is you only have to be 1 year in the industry, and also it is not tied or associated with any of our current classes or courses. So basically, you take an exam that has gone through the process, and then you pass that, and you're now licensed. And it would be good for the state of Florida, and we anticipate any future states that are following that same method that they feel helps their state ensure the quality of workmanship. Right now, we have not completed this course, so it's a great question. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering about this. This mold removal specialist does not replace our applied microbial remediation technician course or our microbial remediation specialist course. This one is mold removal specialist. Now then, this is where we're at, and this is where a lot of people can help the Clean Trust. We have 102 so far signed up for our beta testing. We have completed 65 that have taken the exam, and we need 98 more participants. Once we have completed the criteria for 200 of these exams, the beta testing exams that have been completed, we would be able to apply for ANSI to accept this course. Now, during this beta testing, it's kind of exciting, and we're hoping that we get some outstanding students this first time through, because it's an opportunity for them to give feedback on the exam before it's the final, and it's also discounted. After this course is ANSI approved, we anticipate the fee to be $250. Right now, it's 150. So that translates into we have 98 more opportunities for people to save $100 on the exam and give some input and be the first 200 that became a mold removal specialist with the Clean Trust. So we're hoping that people that will hear this will be able to contact our corporate office, the Clean Trust in Vancouver, Washington, or they could call Debbie Bunk. I'll give you that phone number. Her number is 407-468-7286. Or you could refer to the website cleantrust.org/MRS for the mold removal specialist and sign up. We could really use the help, and the sooner we get registrants to support us on that, thank you for the first 102 so far that we have. Thank you all for that, and we sure would appreciate another 98 stepping up so we could complete this standalone course. No prerequisites other than 1 year in the industry, and then you're licensed. And hopefully it'll expose you to some of our other opportunities and courses that we have available also, if that fits your business model and plan.
That was Daryl Paulson, chairman of the Clean Trust, who was kind enough to join us today to provide an update on the organization. For more information on the Clean Trust, be sure to check out its website at thecleantrust.org.au or watch for Mr. Paulson's monthly column in ICS Cleaning Specialist magazine. And lastly, I want to thank you for joining us today. For Daryl Paulson, I'm Eric Fish. We'll see you next time.